Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Good morning.
What day is it?
Today, it's February 2nd.
Is it?
No.
First.
February 1st.
Thursday.
Yes. February 1st.
I have to do a talk tonight.
Yeah.
At a school.
It is, you know, it's so funny because when we record ahead of time, mm-hmm. like we do most weeks, right. I mean, to be honest, it's a little bit difficult to think about what days things are going to come out. I try to keep it all on track.
That's why I always have to check because, yeah. You know, I say things like, well, tonight we're going to, you know.
Yeah. Well, today is February 1st.
Right.
The first month of the year is already done.
Oh, jeez. I have to get my Christmas tree taken down and get all that stuff put away.
It's not down yet?
Pretty soon. No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's still up. It was up yesterday. There's nothing on it. I had this brown tree in my living room.
You're not watering it still?
I don't think so.
I don't see.
Wouldn't do any good anyway. It was a good tree though.
It was.
Served us well. Yes. We should probably get rid of it though, right?
Probably should. I mean, it'll catch on fire pretty easy.
Spontaneous combustion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So today we're gonna. Why are we talking about that?
It's the end of January.
Yeah.
The first month of the year is gone.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about New Year's resolutions and all the things we're going to do in 2018, and one down.
Yeah.
First month is gone.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable. Flying by. They said it goes faster after 30 or 35. The time goes by faster.
Oh. Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about screen time a little bit. And there was this paper written on January 22nd, it was published on CNN,
at
CNN.com,
right.
mm-hmm. about screen time, whether it's a mental health menace or a scapegoat.
Or a scapegoat, right. This begins with a woman we've talked about before. Her name is Jean Twenge. She's a professor at associate professor at San Diego State. Mm-hmm. She's written a couple of books. She has one out called iGen. Mm-hmm. She has one coming out in September called iConnect. Mm-hmm. I've ordered a copy of iGen. What she talks about here is children born after 1995 mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are in for a mental health crisis,
right.
is the way she puts it. Now, full disclosure, I have a daughter born in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter born in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
They are completely different,
right.
in the way they use their cell phones.
Right.
The daughter who was born in 95 uses hers one way.
Mm-hmm.
The one born in 1999 uses hers the way they discuss in this article.
Yeah.
So I can see this. Mm-hmm. I can see what she's talking about in my own family.
Right.
This period from 1995 on.
Mm-hmm.
So what does 1995 represent?
Because this is
That's
where
the yeah. self the smartphone
exactly
right
this
these
is
kids
where the
have
explosion,
only known
right
they have only known the smartphone. My daughter, who was born in 95, didn't have
right.
a smartphone her whole life,
right,
and she laughs about the phones that she did use,
yeah.
flip phones and slide phones and
right.
different names that they had. The daughter born in 99 has only known smartphones. She never
right.
had anything else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Remember how we used to have to text where you had to hit the same letter?
I never learned how to do that.
Times. I watching you text now with your iPhone, it would be, I would probably pay to watch you try to text with a flip phone.
Excuse me for
Richard,
a minute.
That would have been.
What I do I do with my iPhone?
Nothing.
I'd use opposable thumbs.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I didn't always.
I know.
I used to use.
I know. You're evolving.
We'll talk about this in a minute. In the meantime, we're going to go back to smartphones.
Yeah.
Jean Twenge, 1995, mm-hmm. Because these are the from 1995 on are the
iGen.
iGen, they have only known
right.
smartphones.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, and we've talked about the idea of cell phone addiction and, mm-hmm. and some of those kinds of things, but what we're referring to here is a is it kind of expands that just a little bit.
Right.
You know, we're not just talking about a cell phone addiction. What we're talking about is what happens to you when you are that connected that much.
That's right. And that's the issue that she raises, because when I say my daughters are different, my daughter born in 95 doesn't use her phone. She's not on it as much as the 1999 child. That's a nice way to talk about your children. But she brings these data.
Right.
She talks about these numbers, and she says that they did this study with a pretty large sample, so it's pretty robust. And it says that when they surveyed teenagers from 8th and 9th, 8th and 10th graders, those who spent 13% of 8th and 9th graders who spend 1 to 2 hours a week.
So that's not much time.
Which seemed very little.
Right. Yeah, what her data basically suggests is that the more time you spend on your phone, the more time these high schoolers, middle and high schoolers, spend on their phone, the more they were likely to report being unhappy.
That's right. They were not happy is the word, the way she phrases it. Right. They were not happy. So,
and it goes from 13% of the 8th and 10th graders when they only spend 1 or 2 hours a week on their phone to about a quarter, 24% of if they spent more than 40 hours a week on
so
their
phone. So it just about doubles.
Right.
Okay. The number of kids who report not being happy just about doubles if you go from 1 to 2 hours a week to 40 hours a week. Now, 1 to 2 hours a week is almost nothing.
Right.
I mean, I...
And granted, 40 hours a week is a lot. Because she's just talking about social media here. So she's not talking about using your phone to watch movies or anything like that. She's talking about 40 hours a week of social media.
Would she include texting?
That would include texting, that would include Instagram,
Snapchat,
all of that stuff. So you're interacting, socializing in some way.
40 hours
a week, that's a lot of time.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if you divide that over seven, well, if you divide that in the 5 days a week,
five days would be 8 hours. Yeah, that'd be a lot.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah.
Now they probably spend a lot more time on the weekends on it. So they probably, probably 8 to 10 hours each day on the weekend. But
the alarming thing to me about the data is that even 1 to 2 hours a week starts to have an effect. And 1 to 2 hours a week is nothing. I mean, that's minuscule. Okay.
Right.
And so, if 1 to 2 hours per week causes more than 10% of kids to report not being happy, it's exerting some effect. Okay. And then by the time you get to your senior year, however, and this was a little bit confusing, this correlation seems to go away.
Right. And this is why the author includes the scapegoat.
That's the title. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because what they also found is that teens with 0 hours of screen time had higher rates of unhappiness.
That's right. If you're not connected, and this is why we tell parents, be careful about yanking that phone away, because you are putting your child, and we all agree, all of us parents, everybody be born before 95, we all agree on overuse and addiction and all that stuff. That's not a problem. But when you take these phones from these kids, you could be putting them at a distinct disadvantage that could do lasting harm to your relationship.
Right.
So be careful about that. There's a lot of other things you can do besides take phones.
Right. So what they're talking about here is this issue with jumping to blame, jumping to the notion, to the conclusion that we need to cut back on their social media time. We need to restrict their screen time on their phones and things like that because of this, and even Twinge, recognizes that this is just a correlation. You know, she yes, it was robust. Yes, there was a lot of, there were a lot of students involved, but her data are not consistently demonstrating that the more time you spend on it, the more unhappy you are.
It might be that unhappy teens spend more time on media.
Right.
You know, it could be that kids who are dysphoric or a little bit depressed, like mildly depressed, they might just spend more time on their phones.
Right.
So it could be the opposite.
Right.
So these are not We're not saying that the phone causes it.
Well, and it could be that the other group that are less unhappy,
right?
Yeah, because they're only spending 1 or 2 hours a week on it. Mm-hmm. It may be because they're involved in lots of other activities that are keeping their mood up. They're involved in clubs and sports and things mm-hmm. like that. So that's keeping them from being unhappy. It has nothing to do with the phone.
That's right. It's the other activities.
Right.
And because we know that kids who are involved, I think it was sports, one, socializing, mm-hmm. just being around other kids, right. and religious activities. Those three in that order, sports, socializing, and religious activities, are all correlated with higher levels of happiness.
Right.
But it may be that it's that activity, not the less phone time.
Right.
So that's why we have to be careful
right.
before we jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
That said, 92% of kids mm-hmm. are online daily.
Right.
And 24%, and this is what I think most of us are alarmed by, 24% are on constantly.
Right.
And I think that's the group that we're mainly concerned about
right.
because that could have an effect. So the issue becomes, with anything else, it's overuse.
Right.
Okay, and
right.
that's what we're concerned about here,
yeah.
is that there is probably some correlation between the amount of time you're spending and what your emotions
right.
are going to be like.
Right.
And so I think what we have to talk about is, how do you regulate phone use? When is it appropriate to use it? When is it not appropriate to
right.
use it? But that's the way it is with everything, whether it's driving or going out. You don't go out every single night
right.
of the week. So you limit these sorts of things,
mm-hmm.
no matter how pleasurable they might be. You limit their use and you limit the amount of time you spend doing it.
Right.
So too it can be with this, is that you have to limit
mm-hmm.
the amount of time.
Yeah, I think that the take-home message here
mm-hmm.
is that should you be concerned, or perhaps it is prudent to be concerned, if your kid is spending 40 hours a week
right.
on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about how much time that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of the 160 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
you take out 56 hours because of sleep. So you're down
mm-hmm.
to 100 hours a week. If they're spending 40 hours of the 100...
of their awake time.
Of their 100 hours of awake time on their phone...
Mm-hmm.
Social media on their phone.
Social media.
That's
right.
a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem no matter what.
right.
You know, if almost half of their awake time is spent on
mm-hmm.
their phone.
Right.
I mean, if you take the 105 hours that's left after sleep time for their week,
mm-hmm.
and then you take out how much time they're in the shower.
Right.
Now you're down to under 100. Presumably they're not on social
media
while they're in the shower.
You're very close to 50% of your
yeah.
time is spent online. That's a problem. But 50% of your time doing anything would
is
be
a problem.
If you were practicing ballet 40 hours a week, that might be a problem.
If you were reading 40 hours a week, that would be a problem.
Because you're giving it, the problem is not the phone. The problem is there are other things you should be doing.
Right.
Okay, and that's
right.
that's the problem, is that if you're reading 40
mm-hmm.
hours a week, there are other things that you should be doing besides reading.
Right.
Because you're neglecting other areas.
Right.
If you're spending that much time doing one activity.
And to me, that's what they're getting at here with,
right.
is it a mental health crisis or is it a scapegoat?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think in that way it's the scapegoat, because it's really easy to point at that, because a lot of parents don't like it that their kids
mm-hmm.
are on their phone anyways.
Right. That's right.
And so it's very attractive to say the cell phones are the problem.
Right.
But really, again, as you said, if you're doing anything for half your waking hours,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
It's a problem, right? Even if it's good for you,
right.
it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah. if my child born in 1999 is using it excessively, rather than bugging her,
mm-hmm.
teasing her, cajoling, pressuring, maybe it's time to give her some other tasks
mm-hmm.
to do,
right.
Open up her life a little bit to some other possibilities, because
right.
what will make her happy is sports,
mm-hmm.
social,
mm-hmm.
direct social activities, and religious activities. So there are other things that perhaps as a parent I
right.
should be doing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it for today.
That's it.
Yep. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.